This is a tune about a place. About, if not a city on a hill, at least a town on a hilltop, designed to shine its light to all. It's a story in music about a community founded in ideals and hopes, untethered, though, to realities of truly living together with all the slings and arrows that that may entail. It's a tune titled Celestia from the new album Brand New Day, released by Bill Carter and the Presby Bop Quintet. And many of the pieces evoke new days. Take, for instance, Ahead of the Curve, which dances toward the future, where every dawn promises something new. But Bill Carter asks us what that might mean. How might we get to lives of creativity and beauty and justice? Not, he might suggest, by the misguided utopian dreams of a place like this, like Celestia, but rather through working together, trusting each other, loving each other, perhaps like the members of a jazz ensemble like the Presby Bop Quintet. There will be an album release concert this Sunday in Clark Summit at the First Presbyterian Church, where Bill Carter is pastor. But so many know him as an eminent jazz pianist, composer, bandleader, and author as well, who stops in at the WVIA Benko studio from time to time to talk to us about the power of music in our lives. So, Brand New Day, where did it come from?
Every time a jazz musician interprets a tune, it is brand new. Even if there's a lot of it that's been worked out ahead of time. So that's a pretty good title. And I had this photograph on the cover of the CD that my daughter had taken when we were vacationing as a family on the Jersey Shore. And it was just evocative of a new beginning.
And for us, a brand new beginning could suggest the start of a new tune, as you suggest, interpreted freshly. Or a new phase in life. It could be many things.
And that's true. And what was fun about this project and the upcoming concert we have to present the music is the compositions have been around, many of them, for a while. They've been in a bottom drawer, fermenting. Or in my sketchbook, it would be a bass line and a little bit of a melody, but I hadn't harmonized it or thought through the instrumentation. There were some moments I needed to mark. One was the passing of my long-term associate, Al Hamm, from the Binghamton area. And so I had a piece to kind of mark that. And then there were some kind of just surprising moments that popped up. Here's one. For about the last 10, 12 years, one Sunday in the summer, I get in the car and drive over to Eaglesmere. And they have a little Presbyterian church, clapboard church, and I preach a sermon, and I stay at the Eaglesmere Inn, and I've gotten to know these 30 or 40 regulars who come up, old Philadelphia roots, many of them. And I started passing this sign somewhere between LaPorte and Eaglesmere called Celestia. I had no idea what it was. So one time I pulled over, just read the sign. It was a utopian community. Emphasis on the word was. So I poked around, and it was based by one of those preachers who had figured out when the second coming of Christ was going to happen, and they all got it in the mountaintop, and he didn't show up. They got back in the mountaintop, and they recalculated, and he didn't show up. And so part of them splintered off, moved to Sullivan County, started this place, Celestia, which, you know, by now I'm thinking, whatever happened to it? Well, it crumbled as most of those communities do. It began so well and everybody's so hopeful, and yet it disintegrated. It was a little too far into the woods. The infrastructure wasn't there. And in a few years, it was sold off for taxes. Now, what happened? Well, the founders had deeded the property to Jesus Christ, and Jesus didn't pay the taxes. So it kind of just devolved from there, and now it's a road sign and apparently a couple concrete steps up in the woods. And I thought, well, let's put together a tune about that. Let's start with a very sweet melody and a bass line that's kind of thoughtful and heavenly. And then the band comes in and they improvise and it gets a little complicated, and by the end of the tune, it's come unraveled. Why not? So it narrates an historical experience. Well, you know, it gets into the inspiration. You know, how do ideas come? I had a melody that had popped up that we recorded, and I really didn't have a title. It was like tune number 47 or something. And I went with the band for an international tour of New Hampshire. We were doing Christmas music, and the opening night concert, we're in Concord, New Hampshire, eating lasagna with the people who had arranged this before we play. And I said, well, is there something going on that you want us to highlight? Well, actually, yeah. It turned out a homeless ministry had sponsored this as a fundraiser, and that we really didn't realize that. And suddenly I knew what the melody was to be called, Finding Our Way Home. And that was the first way we did it, first night we did it. Sweet begins kind of haunting, and then it becomes very mellow and heartwarming, ending up in the key of A flat, which is one of the warmest of all keys. Opening cut in the album began as a bass line and a melody that didn't seem to make much sense. And then a couple of years ago, I attended an educators conference in Birmingham, toured the 16th Street Baptist Church, which was bombed by the KKK, went across the street and had the tour of the Civil Rights Museum, saw where the Freedom Riders had ridden the bus. One of the buses was there, burned out. And then came across this name I had seen in the airport, Shuttlesworth. You know, who's Shuttlesworth? I poked around it. Fred Shuttlesworth was a minister who was very much the person on the ground for Birmingham, a friend of Martin Luther King Jr. And I thought, you know, he needs a tune. So the first tune is Shuttlesworth, and it is a march for justice, which I think is all about a brand new day. That's how it begins. You know, we have some fun. The ensemble's been together essentially since 2003 or 2004 in this configuration with two horns. Mike Carbone on saxophone from Binghamton plays a little flute, and then Jeff Stockham from Syracuse, who plays trumpet and French horn and flugelhorn and all kinds of horns. Tony Marino is our longstanding bass player, kind of the anchor of the band. And then our tour drummer is Ron Vincent out of New York. He's been playing with us, he said, since 2004, and realized it had been that long. So we took this music into Red Rock Studio down in the Poconos and knocked it down in one day. And we had probably 8 concerts in the fall that we worked the music in. So we figured out how it was going to go and who was going to play what solo when. But, you know, there are always surprises. Every time Jeff Stockham plays a solo, he comes up with something melodic. I had no idea where he's getting this from. And then Tony Marino, I mean, he pulls notes out of the air, and they sing. And it's just kind of fun to sit in the middle of this whirlwind and have all this music swirling around. It's beautiful. And the music and the inspiration expresses a lot of our values. It's a very justice-minded group of people, you know, 5 white guys, but we want the world to be a place that's open for everybody. We want to create music that improves the quality of people's days. We want to create music that is honest, doesn't hide. And if we're grieving a friend and mentor like Al Hamm, we wanted the melody and the harmony to resemble that. So, you know, it is empowering to me to dream up a melody, to think through the harmony, to work with the melody and the harmony with the arrangement and the guys. You know, often we will play a tune 4 or 5 different ways before we settle on what's going to be fixed. And, you know, one of the tunes called Ahead of the Curve, I wrote that in 2009. Didn't know what to do with it. Didn't even know how to notate all of it. It can't decide if the song is in 6/8 or 3-4 or 2-4 or whatever it is, and so we just decide to play them all, stack them on top of one another.
You're sounding very much as if you have arrived at a very comfortable place as a band leader with your friends you've been working with all those years.
Yeah.
You trust each other. Yeah. And
comfortable, I'm not sure I would use that word. There is always something stimulating. It's like putting up a tent and one flap won't stay down with these guys. It's imaginative music, and it aspires to be beautiful, but also helpful. You know, we believe that souls can be healed through music by collaboration in the arts, and we want to reflect that, at least I want to reflect that. And there's no sense with these musicians that when we play, it's just a gig. Give me my money, I'll show up at the last minute, we'll play, and then I depart and we won't connect. No, we're friends with one another. We're in touch with one another all the time. We have different configurations of musicians that we all play with. But there's something very special about the Presby Bop Quintet.
In your recent book, Thriving on a Riff, the sense we get is how you each interact with each other. You're individuals, you have your own, like Tony can pull something out of the air, and then all of a sudden you all have a reaction, and it's something fresher than you could have imagined from the start. Yeah. We can see the building of community and communion there, but what about those of us who are in an audience listening to you as you experience that?
Well, we want to draw you in. We want you to see music, not just hear it, but to see it. I tell some of my occasional piano students who think they're interested in jazz, I said, well, have you seen any? Well, they've heard a couple of things. I said, hearing is one thing. Watching the souffle being baked, that's a different thing. It takes a while. It rises. It may fall. It takes the right ingredients, and it takes a great deal of patience. But the proof is in the tasting and in the seeing in terms of jazz. I grew up in a household where my mother played big band albums and the Benny Goodman Classic Quartet with Teddy Wilson on piano. And that was wonderful. It was a lively soundtrack to our lives. It was another thing to actually see musicians like that perform. And that is what pulled me in from the beginning. It wasn't just the intoxicating syncopation. It was the visual invitation and imagining that I could do this. You know, I love to tell the story about my college classmate, Sherry Miracle, who is a band leader, drummer, PhD in percussion, has the Diva Big Band 5-play, the quintet. And apparently, unknown to both of us at the time, we both attended a Buddy Rich concert in her hometown when we were teenagers. I went and I was just blown away by the ensemble play and the way that the music was arranged. She sat there apparently with her mouth open and said to herself, I'm going to do that. And she did, and it set the trajectory for her life. And you know, a woman big band drummer. It was not a wide path, but it was a clear one. And I think that's what happens when we encounter the arts. It has the potential of awakening and sparking something in us, especially if it's something beautiful, and especially if it's an experience that gives life.
You had a model in terms of the sense of justice in music. We've talked about it. You've spoken so thoughtfully about Dave Brubeck and his moral conscience. If we hear Take Five, we don't know that he's down in the South refusing to play. Isn't that right?
Well, he was refusing to play in some places and canceled other places because the cultural background of many of the places that booked him didn't realize he had an African-American bass player at the peak of his productivity. And they didn't want that, or they wanted that bass player to play behind the curtain or some nonsense like that. And Brubeck believed everybody is a child of God. Everybody is important. Everybody has something to contribute to the conversation. And he said it never had to do with the color of anybody's skin. It had to do with their ability. And to get out of the way so that they could do what they needed to do. It's a wonderful model. It troubles me every day to turn on the news and find some kind of implicit restriction put on those who are different or those who are varied. I mean, this world was created for all its creatures, not just the ones who happen to look like me.
We'll get to hear the march, we'll get to hear your tune in memory of Alham and all of the rest in an upcoming performance.
Well, it's a concert at First Presbyterian Church, where I've been privileged to serve for an awful long time. First Presbyterian Church in Clark Summit, 300 School Street. The concert's on Sunday, May 18th at 4 o'clock with the band, the quintet. And not only do we have this wonderful quintet, we have the absolute best master of ceremonies you can imagine. You want to guess who it is? It's that guy, George Graham, who has complimentary things to say about our music. And so we've invited him to come and speak. He took about 30 seconds to say, okay. So we're looking forward to it. It's a concert that's actually funded by the Lackawanna County Department of Arts and Culture. And also donors who are part of the First Presbyterian Arts community. And it's open to all. It's not a religious concert. It's just a jazz concert. And we hope we're aspiring for beauty and enlivening.
Pianist Bill Carter performing here and speaking with us at the WVIA Benko Studio about the album titled Brand New Day, a brand new album just released and ready for its release this Sunday in Clark Summit at the First Presbyterian Church, and that's at 300 School Street. The concert will get underway at 4 o'clock and will feature Bill Carter and the Presby Bop Quintet. The concert is open to the public free of charge. A free will offering will be taken to help defray the cost of the event. There will be a Meet the Artists reception following the concert. Again, it is Bill Carter and the Presby Bop Quintet. It's the final concert of the Arts at First Presbyterian season, and it will celebrate a new recording of original music titled Brand New Day. Featured are Mike Carbone on sax, Jeff Stockham on trumpet and French horn, Tony Marino on bass, and Ron Vincent on drums. Again, it is a concert that's free, and it's Sunday afternoon at 4 in Clark Summit at the First Presbyterian Church. And if you need more information, it's FPC, First Presbyterian Church, CS, FPC. CS, First Presbyterian Church of Clark Summit, and that's .org. And we'll have a chance to hear more. And very nice for us is that WVIA's George Graham will be the master of ceremonies. He and Bill Carter and the members of the Presby Bop Quintet go way back, and they all have played together with George recording or emceeing at the WVIA studios. And we hope to do that again when we move back into our newly renovated Public Media Center.